Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate y'all coming tonight. This is a joint workshop between marketing, P&amp;Z, beautification, our SLAP committees. And what we are looking for is a synopsis of how the economic development committee can best be used and implemented in your committees. And with that, we do not have an agenda tonight, our clerk will sit today. And with that, we'll ask y'all to, where is the podium? Well, I guess we'll ask you to stand up.
The podium hasn't been brought back.
Is that the community center still?
Community center.
Well, anyway.
We could adjourn to the community center.
That might be fun, that might, we might have to clean up a little bit there. Do we have anybody here from the marketing committee?
I'm the only one, but I'm not, I'm expecting something, I'm not even full.
All right, Al, Mr. Bob, would you like to, since y'all didn't have anything prepared last time, to tell us how you'd like to implement the ED findings into your P&amp;Z?
Yeah, I'll have to read it again, then.
Well,
I talked with Jim, he's...
I'm glad you tore yourself away from the dollhouse business, but it's looking good, by the way.
Jim wasn't feeling well, and I haven't talked to Craig, so Jim couldn't make it. Our last meeting, what we talked about for the P&amp;Z has used the John Sawyer D1 study. We've used it in the past. Especially, the parts about form-based zoning and other things. The new study, I think you can combine both of them. We basically talked about anything, as far as the way we feel any economic development that's going to happen in the town is probably going to be zoning-based. It's not going to be incentive-based, so we're working on form-based zoning, we're working on overlay districts, we are working on the power line. So, I think this, we all basically felt that maybe P&amp;Z should be the, as far as implementing the plans, should take that on and then bring in the other committees as needed, because there's a big parking issue and the parking study should be done by SLAP. That's their committee. Beautification, there'll be a time when beautification needs to be involved in economic development. Basically, Craig was supposed to be in well for P&amp;Z. He's the one supposed to have the memo for P&amp;Z and send it to you guys, but obviously I'm just going by memory from when we talked about the meeting. So.
And you said he would not be here tonight?
Jim, I talked to Jim because I usually pick him up, and he wasn't feeling well. He couldn't make it. I did not talk to Craig. But that's kind of what we were talking about at the meeting. We already are working with the studies. We haven't worked with the new NC State study because it's brand new. But we have done a lot of work with the John Sawyer. We're very familiar with it. So, any questions?
Fellas, if you have any questions?
Alan, are there some... I think one of the things that we're trying to do is you get the process started, and the SLAP committee and the beautification committee have each given us a list. I know y'all are working on big picture things like overlay district and the form-based zoning and all. But in terms of some incremental steps, things that we can start on right now that will help, there were some intermediate goals that were identified, some things that people thought we needed to do that would help in all of these studies, parking, appearance of downtown, making it more attractive to residents and visitors alike. Are there some specific things that P&amp;Z has in mind that we can start looking at implementing while we're waiting on, the mountaintop report about the overlay district and the approval?
Well, the biggest thing that we've tried to work on for months is the power line, which is a pretty, it's an expensive process, but we're also looking into, ways of funding it. If you take a Main Street town, there could be funding available for that. There's different avenues that we've been, discussing over the past month.
Let me ask you this about the power lines. This has been, I mean, I remember when I was on P&Z, that was on our agenda every month, the whole time I was on P&Z,
right.
And we really didn't get far with it, partly, you know, for whatever. But what would it take, for example, what would it take for us? I mean, I think the first thing is nobody has a real good handle on what it's going to cost.
Right.
And if it's technically possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to say we want to find out what would be involved, how big a project it is, what it's going to cost, is there a way that we can do that? Can we hire somebody? Can we pay Progress Energy to do a study for us? Can we, you know, that's...
Well, I'm sure we can hire somebody, but I mean, what Jim Shooter's, his project for this month was to go out and take the map out and measure out where 12, because you have to do a minimum of 1,200 linear feet. That's what Progress Energy told him. So he's, you know, he was basically going to go out to the B1 and kind of designate that area on a map and start there. Then, you know, as far as hiring someone or funding, I mean, that's basically up to you guys.
Well,
we can recommend, but yeah. We don't have a budget. We don't have the budget to work.
And that's what I'm trying to get to the point is if there's, you know, we got to take the first step, and I mean, how long have we been talking about burying those power lines? How long has that been something that people have recommended that the town do? And so, I mean, if there is, and I appreciate Jim, especially given his help, you know, going out and, you know, measuring stuff and everything like that, but at some point, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how do we actually get to the point that we can go to Progress Energy, or even if we go to apply for a grant, you know, if we ask somebody, okay, you know, we got to tell them how much money this is going to cost us, you know, within some reasonable estimate. And I know, you know, if you ask John Elliott with Progress Energy, he'll say $1 million a mile. But, you know, that's, you know, sort of, you know, how much would it cost us to get a man to the moon, you know. So...
Well, I think the, I have to go back through the notes, but I think Progress Energy said that to just have their engineers do a study, it was like 20-something thousand dollars.
Okay. It's more than that, Alan.
It could have been 20 to 30. I know it's pretty pricey just for them to do a study, just for the engineers to do a study. But, I mean, we have to give them the area that we want to do. And,
well,
you know, stepping up for $20,000 and not knowing if we can fund it or not.
Well, I haven't been involved in the last couple of years with that specific project, but I know when I had Public Works before was when you were on and mm-hmm. we were doing a lot of that. Part of the problem at that point always was that Progress Energy would rather have the lines not there.
Right.
And to get, we maybe have to go somewhere else to get a truer figure.
Right. And I guess that's
go ahead.
But see, that's what I'm trying to get at is that to have, and I know $20,000 is a big number, but this is something that, like I said, we've been pursuing for years, and if people really think it's going to make a significant difference, then we, you know, we can try and find that money somewhere. I mean, this is not a good time to be spending money frivolously, but I think this has got to the point now where it's not just a frivolous issue. It's something that people have indicated that, you know, very strongly that they're interested in, and we think it will help the town for years to come. So, I guess, can you look back and find out that information? And also, maybe what we need to do is ask Progress Energy, who else can do this study for us?
Well, and even getting their numbers is a good start.
Yeah.
And we have them, I mean, they gave us some, and they're not confusing, but once you figure out what it's X amount of money per foot.
Yes.
It's multiple lines, though. It's each line they're putting in. I think one of the main things that came out of our meeting, which took months for them to come and talk to us, was that you can remotely set some of the transformers. And I think that's an issue.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a positive for us, especially the limited space we have on the B1.
Right.
I mean, if they said, no, you can't remotely place them, then maybe it wouldn't be worth looking into. But I think it's a feasible project. I think it's something we should definitely look into.
The part that I remember the most was, this just won't include power lines. It'll have to include the telephone and cable lines. And the also have to include easements from them and the cost for them to put their stuff underground. It's not just the power line, so.
At the meeting, I was there, didn't they give us a price per foot?
It was per foot, but when it came down, because I thought it was pretty affordable. But then they said it was per line, per foot. So if there's five lines on that pole, it's that number times five.
Oh, well, I missed that part.
Yeah.
He said he had different amperes down there that would require different lines as part of it.
So it got a little complicated, because I was doing the math in my head. It was all coming up pretty affordable. But.
And that the property owners would be responsible for the upgrade to change the exterior. And he also reiterated that some of the buildings down there would make, it would bring it up where they would require a complete electrical overhaul of the buildings. Because they want to pass code. Okay. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I think that not only for aesthetic reasons, but also for safety reasons, especially during and after a storm, that we seriously consider this. Aesthetically, it would be very, very nice. Now, I don't know the specifics of this, but all of the lines will be running through conduits. You're not going to pull a line without a conduit going through there, I would think. So I don't know why they would charge per foot per line. I didn't catch them saying that right off the bat there. But
There's two sides, which they said, and I haven't heard the other side front, because I know, like you said, Progress Energy is not fond of putting power lines on the ground. When we talk about being a hurricane-prone area, they talk about flooding, and it's worse to have them on the ground for flooding than it is to have them on the pole. But I think you could probably get a different opinion from a different power company if they're not, you know, if Progress Energy truly doesn't really want to put those on the ground, then of course that's what they'll say.
Plus, elevation-wise, we're significantly different than Carolina Beach's north end.
Right. Well, also the back that one that would that be. Elevation is much different here than it is in Carolina Beach, but more importantly is the fact that Progress Energy themselves is not going to be the one doing the work. The one doing the work is going to be a subcontractor for Progress Energy. And we may want to explore that and see what they have to say also.
There's trenchless.
I haven't trenches,
but there's, you know, they said they're gonna do something with the trenchless, but so it'd be a big project.
The whole thing could be trenchless. I mean, it's not as major as I thought that he tried to make it.
Well, he was going to tell you, was shaving the, you know, that they didn't want anything to happen. Any other questions for?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, what do y'all think about asking TNZ to, at their next meeting, try to put together a brief, like one-page summary, of the issues involved and what they think it would take for us to get something that we can really talk about? You know, because we're all speculating about who could do the work, who could do the study, and everything like that.
Well, I think if we're going to do that, we should set some parameters as to where, you know, we're talking about.
Well, and that's what Jim's going to be working on this week. And, you know, I'll follow up with Jim. If he hasn't done it, I mean, I can do it with him.
Well, I think we've all talked about the B1 district, but it seems to me that the logical place to start is B1 district and then Fort Fisher north and south, K Avenue, and then, you know, there are some neighborhoods in Kiwi Beach that already have buried power lines.
Right.
And so then we would be looking at the others. And I mean, I think we need to get some. It may be that we'll come back and it'll just be something that is so expensive and involves so much in the way of easements and, you know, having to, you know, like you know, telling Bud and Joe's that they've got to put in a whole new electric service and a new meter base and all of that stuff, and they're all going to say, hell no, we don't want to do it. And then we can just cross this off the list and get it over with. But right now, we've been talking in circles for... So.
Okay. What originally brought this up in my mind was when I... Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it before that, but when Brunswick County put all of their barrier islands underground, the reason they were, well, I guess the reason they were able to do it is because they have a separate electrical
community.
Yeah, and as I understand, maybe we should ask some of the people in Brunswick County how they went about it and what kind of a cost ratio they had.
Well, Baldhead Island is also totally buried.
Well, yeah, that's more like our subdivisions here that are totally buried.
Right, but I mean, it's a beachfront community.
Yeah.
It's an island.
How about this?
Yeah. Not anymore.
It's bigger.
It's all part of Pleasure Island now.
We can run it from over there. Anybody in the audience have any questions?
It's easier to do residential underground wiring than it is commercial wiring. So, you know, down where we live, it's all underground. But it's, they put a transformer, they pull three or four homes out of one transformer underground. Down there, they just use direct burial cable. So here, when you're talking about the center of town with all the concrete buildings, all the pipes that are there now are all in the ground. You have to put them on the ground because it'd be one more overhead. So you are talking quite a difference than having it in the residential area where you can dig up the lawns.
And the problem is you made it abundantly clear several times what kind of problems we have looking at.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, different wires.
Same in the village. Well, okay. There's nothing in case. It's all underground cable.
Yeah. And they occasionally get nipped and have brownouts, but you know, the commercial would probably have to be an alternative.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it may be wise to take the area and include some residential in it so that we can get a number for residential areas if that's an option. Years down the road, the town wants to bury everything.
Well, I'm okay with your suggestion as far as taking a look.
Do you have any idea what area that Jim was talking about?
Well, like Tim said, we've all talked about K and north and south on Fortfish. I mean, I think we were going to start with the minimum of 1,200 to see how far that took us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need to go a little further, we go a little further. But I think if you just start with the 1,200, that will at least give us an idea of what things are going to cost.
Is there any kind of economy of scale? I don't remember them saying anything about it.
They just had a minimum that they would do. Yeah. And I remember that being 1,200
right.
Linear feet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan. And this would you like beautification to come next?
Well, I don't think we have much to say other than what we presented to you last time.
Okay, well, we have.
Ken is out taking care of Paula before she broke her collarbone, so mm-hmm. He's not here.
Yeah, the Easter Bunny attacked Paula in her own kitchen. She fell over a box of decorations.
Right. So, and we haven't had a meeting since that last meeting, so I don't think.
Yeah, and Paula, everybody tried to remove her, but she is incapacitated. Luckily, she can still have a telephone on one hand.
She's very frustrated.
Yes, she is.
She gets frustrated quite easily with physical limitation. But I do have one
yes, ma'am.
Item that I think would help the economic development of Kiri Beach just as an individual, and that would be to try to convince these guys, the county commissioners, to reevaluate Kiri Beach and all of Pleasure Island. Why would they bother saying that we are carrying the whole county and then they couldn't do a full-scale revaluation? So we'll just leave Pleasure Island 40% overvalued. I think it might be nice for economic development, even home sales. and to get rid of that disparity, that problem.
Anybody like to make a motion to send a...
I wanted to make another comment as to what Candace said. And I think I talked to you, Dean, about it. And I wanted to ask Andy what he could do as far as possibly coming up with some sort of a letter. I don't know how you would put it. To the county commissioners, stressing the importance that they reevaluate Pleasure Island because of the disparity compared to Wrightsville Beach and Wilmington. And that was clearly stated in the paper, that the reason they wanted to do that is because Wrightsville Beach and Wilmington would be affected. Well, I don't remember the whole article word for word, but it came out of the fact that Wrightsville Beach and Wilmington was closer to their real value than we were. And they figured that Wrightsville Beach and Wilmington would have possibly an increase in value, where we would have a decrease in value.
This whole thing was spearheaded by Bill Kopp, who's no longer a commissioner, to have this early evaluation done.
Didn't they vote on it?
Yeah.
Okay, and would they not have to vote on it again to rescind it?
They could, may have.
No, but not according to the paper. They did not take a vote.
Well, you can't trust anything you read in the paper.
Amen.
Well, but what would be the proper way to
this do? Reminds me of the insurance problem, the western part of the state versus the coast. This is exactly the same kind of scenario you're facing with the county.
Why don't we do this? I mean, it may not even be legally possible for them to evaluate part of the county.
They can't.
And not the rest.
They've got to do the whole thing.
But at least in the spirit of Candace's suggestion, what if we ask the mayor to draft a letter to the chairman of the county commissioners, letting them know that we think it's that, you know, that all, we understand their financial crisis, but for them to choose not to do the reevaluation at a time of Pleasure Island.
That's the original reason that we tried to get it on.
It's significantly out of whack that we should, you know, we would like y'all to consider this. And if there's any way possible that you could address Pleasure Island's problem, please do so. Just something along those lines.
I don't have a problem working with Andy. Yes, Candace?
I will say that they may not even have to reevaluate, because I have contested my property values 3 times, and every time I've gotten it reduced, and so, you know, by a lot.
You know, now that's... But maybe you can suggest in the letter that they set up a mechanism where, if they don't do a reevaluation, they can do a mass
board of equalization.
Board of equalization for Pleasure Island folks who want, you know.
And on top of that, sometimes they send you a letter in the mail saying, we decided your neighborhood was overvalued. Your property value has gone down by $4,000 or whatever. So even without your...
That happened to Beach Walk right after I moved in. They all got that list.
And went back up when I moved out.
Easy, those connections.
I think that's a great idea, Andy. Madam Clerk, if you'll put in the minutes that we were, the town attorney and myself will start working on this letter and get it out here ASAP. But that was a great suggestion, Candace. Thank you. Yes?
Does it make any sense to approach Carolina Beach to see if they would want to do a similar thing?
They usually follow whatever we do.
I don't know that I did all that.
See if we can send them in conjunction. Yeah. Yeah, they've been very, very good neighbors to work with on things like this.
Right, this would be just power families.
Candace, what, you have a couple of suggestions here about landscape maintenance and everything like that. Jim, do you think we could get Sunny? And one of their suggestions is a dedicated public works employee for landscaping. And I was wondering if you could ask Sunny, if this is agreeable with everybody, to go ahead and write up what it would take.
Give us some numbers.
Give us some numbers, because the budget's coming up. And what we'd have to look at is, you know, the employee with the truck and whatever, you know, tools they would need, that we could look at what the cost of that is. Well, we only have two backhoes.
And they have a truck that they were thinking about selling to surplus, so and it's still running condition. Oh, you already spoke for that.
I haven't spoken for it.
We'll see.
You talked to the man who spoke for it.
Okay. The slide parts, they want the same truck, but we'll work on that.
But Glenn can't speak for him anymore, so it's not Glenn Flowers that wants the truck, is it?
No.
He's got every surplus truck from 1947.
Well, some of them are still in the yard.
Glenn has left us now. Let's be nice.
I'll get with some.
Thank you.
But with the number of acres they've got, I don't know that they would even need a truck. Just
whatever we think is reasonably needed so that we can have a budget number.
And no parks and recreation bond money to be used for that, so don't even go there, Mr. Goodman, please. Next.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you don't finish? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
They had a lot of good ideas here. Okay. We have to work on this. On the uniform signs. Do y'all have some idea of what you want the signs to look like and what you think they should, you know?
Well, the council already approved the sign ideas.
Okay.
Last October.
Well, what we need to do then is, has that been sent to DNZ to see if there's any reason why we can't incorporate that into our sign ordinances? If your committee could get together what y'all want and what the council approved and get it to P&Z so that they can start looking at it to see.
Well, we have several people on the committee, including Priscilla, have been, I think it was you, no, it was Elaine, sorry, have been very concerned that other committees are going around putting up signs and, you know, doing things that...
That's just me, I'm not a committee.
That you had a white post instead of
the
one that was being
somebody, unless you folks want to do it, we're fine.
Tony just burst it in
there. There has to be some way to coordinate signs.
And because P&Z is responsible for the sign ordinance, I think they're the logical people to do it, right? Yeah. Okay. You would.
In fact, I believe that P&Z asked for beautification was input.
We've given our input to P&Z three.
But I thought one of the issues too was sign clutter.
Yeah.
Isn't that a big issue?
Not anymore.
Well, the clutter would fall under that.
Why not?
Because we took away a lot of the signs.
I see four of them up there. On your road.
Probably going to be one more.
Four is nothing compared to 83.
I think we should put one at the end of everybody's driveway.
That way we could stop everybody from going down that road.
They're picking on me again, Candace.
They're picking on me for some reason.
No.
Yeah, they have to. They're doing their ginger.
So, do you need information?
Do I need information? I guess I did signs and stuff that I should just run by us and see if there's any ordinance there.
With beautification, we brought another sign company in to give us another price. So we just don't go with one company. We're trying to give you some.
I think right now we're just talking about the design, make sure that they meet the criteria that P&Z has put forth in their ordinance.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's authorized anybody to spend any money, but we need to make sure the design work fits into what the parameters of they, you know, fully has the ordinance.
We're just looking at size. If it falls, we're not looking at colors and those things. That's not our job. That's beautification.
Also, you know, if we go with parking, you are going to be buying the P signs for all over the island. So this keep that, you know, that's one of the big issues that we have. So
yes, the universal
which signs are the P signs, the
international parking signs. Nothing to do with the restrooms he wants.
That's in your brochures that I gave all the commissioners, those signs. Last council meeting, I gave you all.
And how many signs will there be?
God only knows. It's hard to say. I mean, you have to put enough signage on the island so people could know where to park. And right now, there are no signs other than where it says parking, municipal parking. There's no signs showing that you can park at the community center or East Park or different areas like that. That was one of the things in the MPO study that they brought up that was a big problem, that sign.
Yes, sir, I remember that.
In 2005, I illegally started a sign committee under the SLAP committee, a subcommittee. So since that time till now, we've been trying to figure out who is responsible for signs in this town. We've got different committees going out and doing different things. You need, well, as he said, he's responsible for the size and something
else. Like the size, the regulation, the rejection.
I tried at that point. When you pulled in the dial and went to the end of the landing, because at least it would all be consistent, which also should happen throughout the town. But at that time, we were working on that area. So we need to address some committee or a new committee or something that someone who designed, as far as the design is concerned, they would always have to go by the P&Z to make sure they're legal. But as far as designing what the town is going to look like and what the signs are going to look like, the committee should go to that person or that group or whoever to make sure that we're consistent throughout the town.
I would think that basically it's just, again, because of the work you've done, the work that's been done when there were, we did all of our, yeah, we'll make you. I would say that the SLAP committee would at least be the lead committee. Maybe for different things, there would be other committees that would have some find out to them or areas of interest.
Well, I disagree with you. I would have to be the vision.
Well, we've already got, between our discussion here, we've already got three committees involved in signs. We need to get them together or something.
Well, one has to be.
List of bids.
Subcommittee.
Why don't we just... No. we got enough committee. Let's kick it back to beautification. Ask them to take a map of the town and begin trying to blow it up as big as we can make it and have them start putting a dot with a P or an S or whatever every place where they want to sign and let Tony's committee put their dots on the map. And then we'll come up with a count of how many signs we need, and they've already got a recommended design which has been approved, and then we can come up with a budget for all those signs, and then we get... If we have the money, we get somebody to put it in.
We've got some pretty decent
ideas.
We
would
have to invent a new one and make a copy.
The only thing that we need P&Z to do is make sure that we're not violating any of the sign ordinance as far as size and location. And most of those wouldn't apply to traffic or directional signs anyway.
Right.
So there's something. So if you know, what do you think? Just say.
Well, do we need on that map, Jim? The existing signs, and we need two maps. That's what we have there now, so we can.
Well, we can color for them.
Well, I'm assuming that we're going to put a sign back everywhere we've got.
And then green for the existing, yellow for the ones that want, or red. No.
Well, then we'll need two maps. But the idea for unless we just get something on a piece of paper that we can count this number of signs and look at the design,
you know, we're not going to get anywhere.
If we can count the number of them, then we could actually have some kind of budget number. That's the reason I suggested that.
These items are like $24 a piece. We did that.
Yes, sir, I know. But what we, but like I say, Tommy, we just, you know, and if we're going to go out and get another price on all these signs, it'd be nice to have a count. And, you know, y'all have recommended where you want to put them and what we need. We just need somebody to take the map and put them on the map so that we can all look at them and say, okay, yeah.
Now, these B signs are the metal signs or aluminum, per se. Now, the town was going in the direction of making them out of a certain material.
Right.
Which is very expensive.
Right.
We've got different prices on it. But to do what we want to do you want to go with just regular metal signs?
Yeah. Well, that's, I guess, one of the reasons we need to get it to a point where we can say, okay, we need X number of signs, and if we go with the metal signs, they'll cost this much. If we go with some other material, it'll cost this much.
And your metal signs are going to have the metal posts too, aren't they?
Yes, but, you know, we're in
there. All that criteria.
Right. You got a metal post, and these signs might be in areas where there is no signage now.
I think the beautification committee was working on some sort of a theme for these signs. I don't know why we can't have a border or whatever that goes around the stop signs or the parking signs or the no parking signs to enhance their appearance.
We could do anything. You know, that wasn't added a question, just that it costs a lot of money to do the additional around the signs.
Is it your recommendation, Chuck, or anybody's, to have John, and we can't make a motion, we can't vote or anything, but recommendation to you as liaison to have John pull these two maps together?
I'd be happy.
And would he and the police chief's help mark the existing signs, and then when that's available, we'll give it. And we'll make duplicate copies of everything to give to the committee. And then that way we'll get that ball rolling. Any other suggestions? Anything else?
The other thing that if you look at her memo, and this is one that has bothered me since we put it in there, those orange sticks by Big And I will volunteer to get with, if it's okay with you, to get with the chief on police and see who we need to talk to at DOT to check to get rid of this thing and what would be an acceptable alternative.
Because that wasn't our only option, I know.
Right. We wanted to put planters and stuff, but they were so afraid that people would be so used to going through that intersection.
And I think they've been, you know, trained by now.
Right. That's right.
Your suggestion is you're going to take a lead on this.
I'll
leave my own problem with it.
You want to
thank
you.
Yes,
you want
to. All right. Do we have anybody here from the marketing committee?
Just me.
What's your backup expected?
I just called the backup. She's not expected. I can talk a little bit about the challenges, but if that's what you want to hear, but we haven't, as far as I know, discussed this in the specific relationship to the economic development. So basically, the marketing committee, outbound markets, Curry Beach, to the people outside of Curry Beach, and we use the revenue that comes from the room tax to fund that marketing effort. So we don't really cover the whole of the marketing of Curry Beach, and I don't know what funding there is within Curry Beach for marketing, but we don't address that. And I think that's one of the things that could be looked at, is how we provide a much more integrated marketing approach to Curry Beach. The second thing is that trying to market Curry Beach when, and this may directly relate to where we're going, when we really don't have a sense of what Curry Beach wants to be. Half of Curry Beach would love to have a lot of tourists, the other half would hate to have a lot of tourists too. We have a kind of conflicting situation in terms of trying to develop any sort of marketing approach to the town, the town itself. And I think, you know, addressing the whole economic development will help tremendously in addressing some of those issues.
Peter, speaking for myself, you know, I don't want anybody to confuse the word tourist with the word day tripper. And the tourist, I think all of us want to support anything we can as far as bringing tourists into Curie Beach, because they do help with the TDA funding, and we are up 5.5% where the rest of the communities are down. But with the marketing meeting last when I attended, they were trying to lead us more to the social networking and being able to provide hot deals on hotel rooms at the
I was going to comment on that. Because in difficult economic times, the revenue drops. You have to be clever with your marketing money. We're going away from paper marketing and going towards electronic marketing. A lot of success with the website. We're getting a lot of feedback off of social networking, and that's helped us tremendously. And your point that you made was quite correct. We are the star, although a very small part, we are the star of Southeast North Carolina, because our numbers are significantly better than any others, including Carolina Beach. But our numbers are relatively small because we're a small town. But no doubt we've had some success. And we think a lot of that success has come from the electronic marketing that we've been trying to do. So that's been a very positive impact. I think lots of opinions of why that's happening, and you can come to your own conclusion. My feeling is we have a very loyal base of people that come to visit Curie Beach and stay here, and we've retained that base through the years because they like being here. It's the kind of place they want to be, and they stay loyal to Curie Beach itself. We don't have any very much expansion of that. I think we'll keep the base. Depends how much we want to grow that base. We don't have much, and that's what we're trying to do with social networking, to expand that, but we don't have much in terms of growth, in terms of the royal base, but the royal base is definitely there, without any question.
Well, the only comment I had, is anybody else have me?
Yes.
Was, look, thank you. Was that I hope, and I'm, you know, trying to be at the marketing committee meeting, I was hoping that the ladies could work with Fort Fisher and the aquarium, because we have so many people coming there, and kind of incorporate it into our tourist trade, so that there's so much to do that you could actually spend a couple of days here. And meeting the ladies on to Parks and Rec, when they finish the boat ramp facility at the end of the island, that we could hopefully have either some kayak contest or some windsurfing contest there in terms of our Parks and Rec park. Because those people generally stay over the weekend, and they usually eat, you know, with the sharks on them, they eat down here. So we need to try to get as much of the merchandising that we can do in Curie Beach incorporated into that social network, so they know there's 2 or 3 days worth of activities here when they come.
And certainly, I mean, everything you described is a very strong part of the marketing effort, and we do work with those groups to help, because that's what draws people here. And that the combination of those things, plus having a nice small town to be part of, and a nice, you know, reasonably clean beach to be able to deal with, and if they want anything else, they're going to have to go, you know, have to go far to get it. And I think that's kind of the approach.
Yes,
I don't know whether this is kind of reverse, going backwards a little bit, but getting back to the signs and the fact that
the marketing committee did
so. And the marketing committee and the picture on our brochure of the bicycle riding on the Bill Upperman walkway,
yes.
which is not very good.
Well, the lady with the wine glass has orange juice in it. I talked to her.
Okay, well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the walkway.
Yeah, that was a little, that got away from the lady said before they approved it, so.
And I don't know what the beautification plans to do about signage on that as far as keeping the skateboarders.
We just do the design.
Pardon?
I think the beautification just would do, we're concerned with what kind of posts and what colors and, you know, is it attractive? But in terms of what signs you have, that depends on your ordinances.
Well, then I suggest we come up with an ordinance about no skateboards or bicycles on the boardwalk.
How about motorcycles?
That's...
You want to ban the motorcycles too?
If they're on the walkway, I certainly would.
Peter, what was y'all's reaction to the article in the paper a week or so ago where the TDA did a survey and found out that the among North Carolinians, the most popular beach in North Carolina was Myrtle Beach? that there were some of the people surveyed were not even aware of the beaches here in North Carolina.
I'm a statistician by background, that's what my training is. So my reaction was I'd like to see what the study really said. You know, when you don't trust what you read in the newspapers. Because somebody's, not because the basic facts are not there, but somebody's interpreted them and made us and created a story. It may be a very genuine story, but and that's why I made the point before. There's a loyal base of people that know we're here, and they don't particularly want anybody else to know we're here because they like coming here and they like it where how it is. And that's the issue that we have. That's a big issue for us, really. But if we change that issue, and we really want to expand the number of people that come in here, we've got the facilities for it, and do the local residents really want it? Are very big questions. Do they want a crowded town all through the summer? I don't know.
Well, I think she went into a little bit of detail about the study group, and several of them were outside of North Carolina who just moved to Raleigh.
Yeah.
I think it's where they picked up the group. And yet, I wasn't impressed with her stats when she was explaining that.
Our marketing now is because we felt that the biggest benefit we'd get would be with the current economic times would be people coming here from locally.
Yes.
From North Carolina, to move down. People would choose not to go further afield and would save money by coming here. We've directed our marketing that way, so hopefully that'll have some impact.
Well, my personal observation is I don't think there's as much tension between the tourism and anti-tourism people as a lot of people think. I think in talking with people in Kiri Beach, I think all of us want to have enough people coming and visiting here that Jack Mackerel's and Freddy's do a good business and stay open, and Big Daddy's stays open, because those are the kinds of things that we enjoy as well. You know, and that there are amenities and that we can have, you know, things here that, you know, if you go to the concerts at Fort Fisher, you know, that's part of the Chamber of Commerce and the Tourism Development Authority promoting tourism, but more than half the people that attend those are folks who live here year round. It's a big deal for us too, so we enjoy those. Now, you know, obviously we don't want to be Myrtle Beach, but there is, I think that, you know, what everybody's looking for is an attractive business district, amenities, places you can take your family when they come to visit, and place, you know, that people can come, and the loyal visitors who come year after year.
And I think it's the people that are most sensitive to the divide of the motel owners, not the restaurant owners.
I would also like to recommend, and Tim has got that information somewhere, you didn't usually throw it anyway, that you can actually track through the TDA funds, actually which type of tourists are coming to Curie Beach. And you don't even have a detail to when the fish are biting. And it's real, the numbers are there. That might be a tool that they could also use in their social network, you know, for the sports guys too, because the facts are there. Tim went into detail with the TDA numbers when he met
it. There have been some studies on who's visiting and who's not. So we do have some of that information. The challenge is, you know, you've got to go interview people on the street to find out if they're a visitor or a date or.
Was it, this information was from the TDA?
That's right, and they did that study a year or so ago.
Well, this was actually a month by month breakdown of whether the room occupancy tax was being collected from a house rental or a motel rental. And you could tell, like I say, I looked at it. The first thing I noticed is you could tell when the spots were running. Because you could see that it was mostly motels. Normally, house rentals way outnumber motel rentals now. But in October and November, when the spots run, that flip-flops, because people are coming down here just for a spot fish.
True.
So those are the kinds of details that you can tease out of those numbers.
And you focus on the shoulder season. I mean, the summer season isn't much of an issue. I mean, that's been this year, but it isn't much of an issue. It's the shoulder season where we want. And anything that we can do to create events in the shoulder season really, really enhances our ability to get people.
Hopefully, when we get information from Sunny Point that shoulder season, we can enhance using them to disc golf course.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Anything of that sort.
What about our oceanfront park? Has that been any consideration to your marketing committee?
Once it's there, marketing's kind of a bit after the event, and obviously that's anything that enhances that business district around there is going to be of tremendous value to us.
They were very inquisitive as the wind would start coming out of the ground, so they could start using it as marketing.
That's correct.
Any other questions? Anybody in the audience? Thank you, Peter. Anybody out there have any questions for council or any comment
about Tony? Tony,
I can't believe you slapped. Tony, did I skip you?
No.
Harder for me to believe. Tony, slap me, please.
You left the best boy.
I read some notes last time. I'm gonna slap me.
That's okay. I want to thank Dick Graham. When he read all these reports from the different studies that we had, and he itemized them, every one of you have this, and you have the graph, roughly, that tells you yes for each of the items. So that's something to study, go through. The SLAP committee, what we did as a committee, we thought the Sawyer study was one of the better ones out there. And we were disappointed in the last study from North Carolina State because they used what Sawyer had, they duplicated it. The SLAP is saying to the commissioners not to spend any more money on doing studies because we're not following through. If we did get a study, and everybody agrees that the Sawyer study was good, if we started to do some of the items that in the Sawyer study, we would be a little in better shape now. But we got the study, everybody got it, and they put it on the shelf, and no one did nothing. And then a couple years later, we had the North Carolina study, and that'll sit on the shelf also, and nothing will be done with that. The MPO study was a free study, which is great. And the SLAP committee wants to take over the a lot of the ideas of the MPO study that they had for parking and throughout the town, they made suggestions. We also had a list. Do you have your list handy with the 25 items on it?
There's 31.
That was the original one. We cut it down to 25 and we prioritized them a little better. If you want, I can make copies of this for you. If you would like these, you can to make copies, or?
We have them.
Oh, okay.
I've got them in the office, I didn't bring in.
That's okay.
Okay.
All right. And one of the other important factors, Bill McDowell from the NPO study, and three of the items that are on our list, one was the pedestrian crossing light button on Fort Fisher and K. The other one was the a sign on the intersection for pedestrians to walk. And the other one on his study is that we have to get the okay from the DOT in order to put up signs on Fort Fisher Boulevard. So Chuck has to write a letter to DOT to start the them to start the study, even though the NPO did a study, but they have to do their own. And the town of Kiri Beach has to address them and saying those three items would have to be in that letter. So they would have to come back to town and show us if it's okay to put these areas in or not, and use the signage that we want to put in for parking. So that's another important factor that we have to do.
The crossover, Tony, had some cost involved with that in the town, didn't it?
Well, yes, it does, but we really don't know now, because I thought it was going to be an automatic. How I understood it, when Bill McDowell told the DOT that they would just automatically follow through, but it doesn't work like that.
I thought there was some number around $30,000.
I really don't know. No number came up as far as I knew, but it could be a price factor for us, which I don't know. Which, you know, we have to write this letter, start the ball rolling, they have to come down, go down Fort Fisher, look at this, look at that, and I guess they will come back with a price for those three items.
Would you draft a letter so that we could use it for a base point?
Well, I'll talk to Chuck with it. I think it should come from the commissioners.
Well,
Chuck,
I'm going to save time if we get a base point from your end.
Okay, I'll try to do that for
and
you.
And then Chuck, you'll mind how to work on that.
Because that is an important factor to get started, because right. I don't know what their time frame is for them coming out to address
issues. First.
Now, also in that, what we were also talking about in that is the sign for the KMU, and this is the in-street pedestrian cross. That's the other item we were talking about, that we have to get the okay from DOT if they would give us the okay to put these in. And we were roughly looking in 17 locations. Now that was a rough number. 17 locations could be okay. You could go with two locations or four locations. With that involves putting up signage again. That entails putting up signage on the road. It also entails
one of the things that map that we talked about earlier, this would be a big help.
Make another copy of that, Barry.
No, that would be just...
Yeah, they need it while you're doing it as well.
The other item would be where you would put a pedestrian crossing on Fort Fisher. You would either have that sign or the bigger sign, and you would put a walkway. But you would have to get the approval from DOT. And then when I had my meeting with Sonny, you just cannot put signs on Fort Fisher Boulevard. You put up signs, and they'll come down and take them all down for you. So, you know, I figured let's do it the right way, get your blessing, because we are going to need these P signs along Fort Fisher where people can see them, where they can turn in to the different areas. So that's that. Now, with what we're after from you is that to give us the okay to go ahead and start researching and following through different items. So, you know, it all comes down to money. The item is additional concrete stops for EI-6, Eats Park Corral, and beach access lots. And with that, Sonny was working on some prices, like what would be one concrete pieces, two pieces of steel, the man hours to put it in. He roughly came up with, he said something like $20, but he wasn't sure. So you figure $20 times, if we were going with the parking spaces that we were going to put new ones in, and it came out to 303 spots at $20, it's like $6,000 for concrete stops. So no matter what we do, it's going to cost money. Parking locations on Fort Fisher Boulevard need painted to show where parking is located now, with the sewer and the different homes that were built and stuff.
You're talking about the stripes on the street now?
Yeah, you know, Fort Fisher?
Yeah, they have to be.
Right, and what Sonny says, that the, I guess DOT comes in and they put the vertical sign or the vertical line on the ground and the town finishes up to the curb. Adding emergency parking vehicle sign at the pier or new park.
So, Tony, would you rather move the striping of the road up as into your property letter?
It is. Okay. That's like the second one.
And then
the emergency vehicle parking signs at the pier or the new park. Right now, the police, they can't park by the pier, so they park all over. So even with fire or police, we should designate an area and mark it as such with a sign of some sort.
Well, the police can park anywhere they want to if it's right. An emergency.
Dennis
says he has one place there in front of Joe's, and that's all he needs, because they can park anywhere they want to if there's anything else going on.
Okay.
He's happy with what he has there.
Right. I'm real concerned about all these signs going up and the aesthetics of them. I don't want us to have a bunch of eye pollution as you're riding down Fort Fisher Boulevard. Now, I agree that some of them are necessary, but let's be very conscious as to what they will end up looking like after we finish the project.
Well, that's why earlier tonight we asked Candace's committee.
But I want to make sure that Candace and Slap are...
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about putting up any signs right now.
What I'm talking about is everything that goes to parking. If you put the pedestrian crosswalks in, there's certain things that you have to do. You have to put a walkway in, you have to put a sign up, and there'll be a sign on each side of Fort Fisher. These are things that you have to do. It's not that, you know, parking, the P side. You have to show people where to park. This is, if you read the study, this is the most problem area that the town of Curie Beach has.
I agree with you. We need to do something, but let's not make it obnoxious to the eyes. Okay? Let's make it blend in with the rest of our signage. I mean, we've got signs at every one of these parking accesses that say, you know, parking here, you know, beach access. Why not just add an additional sign or something with the stuff that's already there? I mean, you know, why go to anything elaborate and you can get something that would blend in with what's already there is what I'm looking at. I just don't want, just like the utility lines, okay? One of the main reasons is because of the aesthetics of it. I mean, it looks like
birds, yes.
Yeah, to be polite. I just don't want us to take down the power lines and then have a million signs up there.
That's not that it. What we do as SLAP, we bring up a project to you. The five of you vote whether you want it or yes. You do not want it, whether you want signs or not. We make no decisions. We bring everything up to you five. It's going to be on your shoulders if you want the signage or not. That's as simple as it is.
I understand that, Tony. I just don't want you to spin in your wheels.
Oh, no. We're not going to do a thing on this list until you give us the okay to do it. Okay. That's for sure.
But that's our working list.
This is our working list that we're bringing forward to you. You're going to have to come back to us and say, SLAP, I want you to do item 1, 2, not four, I want you to do five and six.
Yeah, I would hope, because we've had this for a number of years also happen, that we take a good look, we are in the beginning of the budget process, and that we give them some things to focus on, and we deal with dollars and cents with practically everything that he's got to.
And they've made it real easy for us. We could all review the list and be prepared at our April meeting to vote on some number of those items so that we can tell the SLAP committee proceed with these, you know, and just come to some agreement. And the ones that have, you know, there's some, the budget impact is small relative to what we're doing. Some of them that might be bigger, but we'd have to say, well, we'll put this in the budget hopper and see if, you know, if we can afford to, you know. But, I mean, that's what we've really asked these folks to do, is to give us a list. Now, we have to tell them from the list that they've given us what to go ahead with. And so I hope by at the April meeting, we'll all have read Tony's list of 25 and have the ones that we want to pursue.
Now, we have some items like making Annie Avenue a one-way street westbound towards Fort Fisher, pave and restripe both sides. Now, that with this item, it requires further discussion about department heads, whether we want to do it, not do it. But that's making N going out to Fort Fisher, so when you come down Atlantic Avenue, it's not two-way at the end. You go right out, you repave both sides, and you put parking on the end.
Well, you don't have to repave both sides if you're stunning, but that was a net gain. It was 11 spaces doing it that way.
For 15, it's in your brochure. Yeah. I picked that one space out.
Yeah, that was a simple fix to add several more.
Right, and it would make it a little easier because everybody would be on an angle.
Yeah, there is one residence there that would be problematic.
Well, that's what I said, you know, what we're saying as SLAP is the items require further discussion, whether we have to have another meeting or whatever. The next one would be K Avenue. These are things that were in the MPO. Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, I'm very much in favor of the additional 15 parking spaces, but what concerns me is if we make that one way coming this way, that puts more traffic going down through that Atlantic Avenue neighborhood on Hamlet.
You may pick up those cars.
Yeah, pick up those parking spaces.
I think you could angle the stripes a different way and have the same effect without changing the direction.
This is a suggestion.
Yes, sir. I know.
What we're going to do, we're going to have probably another meeting about N and have everybody come out and say the pros and cons, and the five of you are going to have to make the decision whether you would like to do it or not.
I think that we need this additional parking there.
I think we need to do it that way.
How we do it is
I don't think you would increase the traffic that much, to be honest with you. As many people that park there, you're going to have traffic no matter what.
Most of those people, when they park there, stay there all day, too.
Yeah, it's not like everybody.
It's just the one residence I would be, the one on the corner I'd be concerned about.
But in the Sawyer study, weren't they talking about doing the exact opposite and making in one-way eastbound? And so that you could have traffic coming both ways on Atlantic and then coming out at L. So you say what you're preferring is
keeping it as not as SLAP, but and the MBO study. We're going by their recommendation.
So that you prefer that over what was in the Sawyer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The other thing what they suggested is on K Avenue between 3rd and 4th. The change from 16 feet to 11 feet and then restripe. This might be had on the lower part where you can put compact cars a little farther up between 3rd and 4th. Now, I already talked to Dennis. He said that might be a problem and it might work. So that would be under further discussion also. But that was one of the other things where we could put more compact cars in that area. One of the things that they found that bike racks in the areas that where we had them originally, cars are pulling in and blocking the access to bike racks. So they're talking about putting them in a certain area there. Move handicap spaces at beach accesses. Again, when we did this originally, and Dick did it originally, we had good thoughts of where we were putting the handicap positions in these entrances. But we find that people really do not care about handicap spots, and they park in different areas where handicap people cannot even get in, use their facilities, and if they do get in, and they go to the beach, when they come out, they can't leave.
So is that just an enforcement thing? I mean, well, is it against the law to park in a handicap spot?
What they came up with in their study is that if we relocate the handicap spots, if we relocate the handicap spots in some locations, it will fix that problem. Some people just don't care. You know, they bring a big truck in, overhangs, and you have problems.
They're not parking in them.
They're blocking.
But in one case, we had an actual stop for a car. When they came in there, they were blocking the handicap.
We have to tweak what we did. After having it in a year, we realizing that where we put it wasn't really the best spot.
So all of these things are on your list of 25
yes,
things.
That
so
we could, you know,
what do we need to do with it.
Also, we have prefabricated bathrooms on East Park, E, and I. That was, you know, one of the ideas that we had.
When's your next meeting, Tony?
April 6th.
Y'all...
I will not be there, though, but...
Jim, would we like to make a suggestion that their committee has our suggestions from Tony's list by the April meeting?
That's next Tuesday.
I've had this information for a couple of weeks. It's, you know,
okay.
I've scanned it. I'm sure the rest of the fellows have. I don't know why we couldn't scan it again and give you each of our, you know, we can put our names at the top, prioritize what we think, and then let you have a message. And the way Dick does the other stuff, he can prioritize what ours are.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you, Dick?
Now, the other thing, we were also talking with those areas about adding additional street lighting for safety along 6th, E, and I on the extensions. Now, we could get opportunity here to go ahead and give us a survey by adding lighting down those streets. Now, also, what we did, we added something like 303 spaces. It equals out to like 25 feet equals 4 spaces, give or take the angle that they put. On Avenue E, between 3rd and 4th, you would pick up 29 spaces. On Avenue I, you have 23 existing, and you would pick up 75 new spots. And that would go from Fort Fisher all the way past the church to 7th Street, just by the entrance of the church. Also on 6th Street, between K, J, I, and H, you would pick up 176 spaces of parking. So a total of 303 spaces. Now with this, you could do it all, do half of it, do one section. It's just up to you fellas, whatever you would like to do with the parking. If you want additional parking, we could go all the way down. With that, that's where we came along with adding lighting in those areas. If you put parking, you should put lighting, you know, for the people who are parking there.
On your study, on your list there, Tony, do you have any earmarks where you'd have to actually incorporate gravel for these spaces? Or?
No, what Sonny said, this all goes on the grass with just the concrete, with the two steel posts. And again, signage.
The street in front of the church doesn't seem to have the compaction that they would need, I think, to use any long-term market.
Well, I mean, we could look into it. That's just what we thought that we could utilize. Yeah. Now, whether you want to go all the way up to the church, that's another whole factor.
Mayor?
I've got a question, and I think we need to be very careful of this. It seems to me that a lot of this recommendations and everything is for day trippers.
Yes.
And as we have in our land use plan, that we are not supposed to do anything specifically for day trippers.
Facilitate.
So there seems to be a possible conflict here.
Tony's made the suggestions, and that's why we would prioritize them. Very much. And keeping that in mind, it's kind of like that movie, you know, if you build it, they're going to come, and it's free parking.
That's right. At this point, you could look into, as the MPO suggests, you could look into the start of paid parking in the town of Kiri Beach. All the other studies that we had when Chuck was chairperson and Mac was chairperson and all the studies that we had with parking, it wasn't feasible for the town of Kiri Beach to have meter parking or paid parking because we didn't have enough locations for them to pick out to park. I mean, adding 300 spots, that's a good portion. Not saying that it's going to be filled every weekend, but when you have the big events, the town festival coming, the big weekends, and you know, with them raising their rates, you might get more people to come to Kiri Beach. Now, whether you want to have them pay parking or not, that's another whole issue. But I just want to give you the idea that we could put in 300 spaces at that point. The other additional thing that we were talking about with it was the LED sign that would be on K Avenue in Alabama. We had Sonny and Dennis with that.
Alan just fell out of his chair.
I understand Alan's feeling too.
I understand. That's okay. It's okay whether they do it or not. It's fine. The LED is not permitted by Section 19.375, and the town commissioners will have to change the town ordinance to allow this sign. What this sign is going to do is to direct people for the events, parking, and anything else we so desire to put on these two signs. And like I said, Sonny loved it. Dennis loved it. They thought it was the best thing that we could do for the people, for, whether for security, for riptides, anything that we would want to do and put on that sign, we could.
So these folks who do the sign, Tony, do they have a rental? Is there something in there?
It's not a rental. We would buy them outright.
But are there rental signs available to do the same thing for the peak periods that we could use TDA money to offset the cost for?
I imagine there is a company that we could probably get and rent them. We didn't go that way, but I could always ask the company.
Yeah, just for the peak period. And that might facilitate what P&Z has directed, and then it would also take care of your problems with, you know, designated parking lot, know where it's at.
Well, that was one of the big things. This is all through the MPO study, where they're saying when the people come on the island, they're a little confused, they're a little lost. And one of the other things that they were suggesting that we have to do is item 12, develop a mapping for parking and town hall, where what we have on our website now is not very good for the people when they come up to it. They need a map, they need guidance where they can pull it off the internet. And at that time, it would be marketing that would get involved with the different areas and put those on the map as well. So, I mean, these are the things that, you know, if you want us to go ahead then with that sign, it's a matter of starting the process of changing the section. If you want it. If you don't want it, fine.
You see.
Nobody likes everything. So, you know, we come up with the ideas, and if they fly, they fly. And if they don't, well, we try and we go to the next thing. And the other thing, or one of the other things, we had installed a flagpole by police and fire department. And that's in your pamphlet too. I think that came out to about $1,600. And Sonny said that he would install it. Dennis loved the idea and Harold loved the idea. And there's other items.
Got $800 in a budget each.
But
I get continual complaints about the condition of the flag that we have now.
Of course, you can't fly a flag that's ripped.
Right.
Or ruined. You have to take it out and burn it. We also have like solar lighting at beach accesses. I mean, that's farther down the road. As soon as they have grants open, we're going to try to get a grant for that. Well, corral parking, that was a big subject. What you want to do with corral parking, rip it down, make an entrance off a K. You know, maybe add more parking in that area. Not, it's up to you. But you could go through the list. That's basically, I think that we've covered everything that we had on our list of things to do. And I guess it's in your court to let us know what you'd like us to do next and which way you want us to. I didn't go through all the things on the list, but you can see whichever ways you want to go and let us know. Do you have anything to say, Jim?
No.
No, I think that covers it.
Do you have anything?
One comment. I don't know the status of the budget for this year. Everybody says it's tight, but in planning for the summer, if you look at your priority list of the goals, and if there are any things that can be done with the current budget, you were talking about things planning for the next year's budget, for either some of the concrete blocks to put up to enhance parking for this current two-hour season. It would be nice for us to know which ones of those we could even implement, you know, because Memorial Day is coming up for the summer. Even if we could do part of this stuff with any money that's in the current budget, as opposed to waiting to the July timeframe for the next year's budget. You know, we would need to know that differentiation.
Did Tommy give you any labor stats that you put in these parking?
Sorry. Did you say Sonny?
Yeah, I mean, Tony, did Sonny give you any?
No, we met, and then he had an emergency to go to, and then I'm going to go with him, go over the list, and see if he could give us money per unit.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a lot more labor involved when you put those in than when you...
Yes, also about East Park, what we're talking about East Park is paving it. You know, I want to get a price of paving it, lining it, putting concrete block. But that would be involved with, if we put a bathroom there for the park, that would be all new lighting and stuff like that. So it all has to come together. And then, of course, sidewalks on K Avenue. That has to be finished so people could walk on K Avenue, not in dirt and stuff.
Couple things. I want everybody to realize that this is everybody's money we're talking about here.
Of course.
It's all of our taxpayers' money. And the other thing I wanted to ask is, what about the... I'm very interested in the paid parking issue. I think it's very important that we start to look at addressing that.
Well, the gentleman from Carolina Beach called me, and he wants to sit down with the SLAP committee. And I said, you're a little premature, because we just don't know which way council is going. If you do not give us the okay to go with any of these parking spaces or improve anything for the summer, then there's no need to do anything with parking, because it's not going to fly. It's that simple.
They could use that parking company that Sanford uses.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty aggressive.
But they would come and take care of parking for us. We're not looking, maybe not in metering, but in the box where we do an honor system.
And how much would this cost? What is the percentage?
It's
that's premature to ask.
Right, it is premature. We have to have the spaces in order to say, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just worried Carolina Beach decided to get rid of it. Okay, and there are some, I would imagine Carolina Beach has some justification for going to handle all their parking themselves. I think we ought to investigate that.
Oh, absolutely. This, if you put an ad in the paper tomorrow that Carrie Beach is looking for parking facilities or companies, it'll be swamped tomorrow. Don't put that in the paper, please.
Imagine having a hard time today.
But that's that. I mean, he called me like 6 times already. I mean, they're chomping at the bit to get in here for parking. But if that is up to you guys to let us know if you want us to go ahead with parking.
Any
that's
other,
another whole issue.
Any other discussion? I've
got a question for Tony.
Yes, sir.
And I won't mention the LED sign.
That's okay.
When the SLAP committee looks at, when you talk about the MPO, putting crosswalks, whether they're mechanical or non-mechanical, and you're talking about putting signs up on crosswalks.
Yes.
Do you do what DOT basically allows you to do, or are you looking at different studies as far as safety? And
well, what is happening now, that the people on one side of Fort Fisher really can't get across the board.
Well, I know the reason for a crosswalk, but I'm saying, are you doing research as far as studies on safety of crosswalks, or are you just taking what DOT says is okay?
Actually, it's what DOT says it's okay, because if they said we don't want the signs, then it ends there. We have to get there, like your blessing, that we can put these signs on.
Only concern I have with DOT is what they're doing in Carolina Beach right now. They're repaving, relining the roads, and for some reason, I was watching the Carolina Beach Town Council meeting when they were approving that, and they had the engineers there from DOT. They're putting the bike path behind the angled parking of the cars. Everybody in the crowd was against it,
wow.
Said there were going to be accidents. And it was only one council member that spoke up and said, asked the guys from DOT if they would give them an answer why it was okay to put that there. And the engineer from DOT said, we look at a bicycle the same way we look at a 6,000-pound SUV. It's a vehicle on the road. And to me, that doesn't make it right, because DOT no. says that they look at bicycles that way. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it safe.
Right.
And if you go online, you can read study after study on which crosswalks are safe, which ones aren't.
It's safe to a point. It would slow people down. It would give people a chance. I mean, last year two fire calls where two girls were hit.
Tony, maybe this should best be served when your committees are working together. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. We're going to go into a closed session now, and just to discuss some personnel matters pertaining to the attorney and one of the folks. The employee is here, so if y'all will bear with us, I can have a motion to go into a closed session.
So moved.
A second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We'll be right. Well, we won't be right back. We'll be back. Thanks.
We don't have to stay, right?
No,
you're done with us.
Right.
We've got what we need to do is take what you've given us tonight and get back to y'all.
Okay. Tony, do you have an extra copy of that list, or is that going to be copied with me?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We have to excuse you, Kathleen.
Make a motion that we excuse Commissioner
Jim Newman. He had to.
Had to go to a fire drill.
Oh. I second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Jim's excused. I'd like to make a motion to
I'm going to be adjourned the work session.
Well, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn the work session.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Work session is closed. Amanda, I would like to read a statement to you. This is from the town of Carrie Beach.
This is on your official letterhead and it is signed by the mayor and council. Stated March 29th in the Star News article of Thursday, March 25th, 2010. It was reported that in a Curie Beach town work session in February, two Curie Beach employees informed council that Mayor Dean Lambeth had told town employees that the town would not hire any employees or children. The town council of Curie Beach disapproves of comments and language of this sort and affirms the policy of Curie Beach to hire based on qualifications without regard to family status. I also will present you a letter of apology that I have personally written. All in favor of well, I'm still batching it, so.
You know, one thing that we should point out to you is that your article was mistaken, that they did not tell us in that work session what the comments were. They simply reported that there had been some comments that they took offense at.
Didn't they refer, I don't believe they said the comments word for word, but didn't they refer to the subject matter?
No.
Okay.
Not in that meeting.
And so okay. I think you should be more careful about how you report things. And you're certainly welcome to listen to the recording because we were all sort of, when we read your article, we were all sort of surprised because we certainly would have reacted if we had been told what the comments were.
I was a little surprised when Patsy said she was admitting constant communication with you. I hope it was pertaining to town business or personal business. No. Mr. Coonan?
Yes. Thank you.
Are you going to work on that letter? Ms. Clerk?
Yes, sir.
We're going to work on the letter.
I've got the letter right now. Tonight.
The other letter.
The other letter.
The one in Jim that we'll give with Carolina Beach and send it to
you. I'll give you.
Okay. This is something that I
in the minutes put that down as the clerk, Mr. Canutas, and myself. And that's what we said up there. So just reiterate that we're going to get on that letter. Hopefully, we can get some type of reevaluation if you want to get on.
Let us know
how
to
put it in right.
Didn't
email her.
No, not yet. I was
going to
let you check that to see if that's
what
you
want.
Sit around,
smoke cigars.
Decide where to go for dinner.
Yeah, smoke cigars. And the door. And the window.
So
y'all can tell.
All right.
Well, now where's...
So the loan
document. Still on. And then this new article in the paper the other day about how they changed stuff around.
If you would, are you going to be here tomorrow?
Yeah.
There's a resolution in there.
Yeah, there's
a resolution. I told her about mayor signed the resolution.
You're not telling us about
that. She said, yeah, we got one up there. Ronnie Branch again.
A lot of that happened before I was there.
Yeah.
And I know they used to, and they think, I'm not entirely sure.
Looks like they could get, well, you know, in this day and age, it looks like they could get some kind of deal.
Goodbye,
compadre. You back up at Corning tomorrow?
Of course.
Well, I'm going to
give you a sip of that coffee.
There's some in there.
Oh,
I didn't drink at all.
Oh, that wasn't our deal.
I know, but I drank too much, actually.
Oh, Lordy, you'll be up all night.
That's he was bouncing off the wall in there a while ago. We had three of us sit on it. the schedule down there for that mess.
Oh.
At the south end? I can't tell they done a damn thing.
Well, I've been in there.
Well, we need them to finish that for the marketing when they need to get the query and pull and snap or that something on that Facebook stuff so we can pull them back in there. I'm going to call Sunny Point again tomorrow because I've given them another 2 weeks.
Now, okay, you're talking about the distal. But I talked to Joe. You know Joe,
yeah.